Haggai. Oh, now I should have warned you. Probably should have had you, like we've been doing the last few weeks, find that a little bit earlier in the service. But one of those minor prophets. It's not minor because it's less important. It's just shorter. And Haggai is second shortest book in the Old Testament. It's only two chapters. Obadiah is the shortest. It's only one chapter, but we're in Haggai chapter 2. So we're in the second chapter in the book of Haggai. And the title of the message is Consider Your Ways. It comes from Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7. And if you need to go find your index, it's okay to do that. Don't worry about it. And if you forgot your Bible, there's one in front of you there in the pew. It's a different color than the hymn book. But remember, it's pretty easy. You got Matthew. You start going backwards. Matthew is that New Testament book, first one of the New Testament. Start going backwards to Malachi, then Zechariah, and then, whoa, you're there. You're in Haggai. And so not hard to find. Haggai chapter 2, and as we are going to read just a few verses, let me remind you what it's about. You may have been here every one of the last two Sundays, and so you say, I've heard this before. Good. That's how we learn. We learn, we forget, we relearn. Perhaps you were here the first Sunday and said, that was a long time ago. I can see like we did do Haggai. What was that about? And so let me mention that this is about rebuilding the temple. Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they're about that period of time in the nation of Judah's history. And they were sent back after 70 years in captivity to rebuild the temple. And then Nehemiah was a part of rebuilding the walls. But this crowd that went back here in Haggai, remember in Haggai 1 and verse 2, they laid the foundation for the temple, had a great service, and then for 15 years they didn't do anything else. And it says in verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. This just isn't a good time in my life. I have other fish to fry, other things to do. I don't think that we can do this. And literally 15 years passed. 15 years is a long time. You think about if a baby was born and mom or dad were gone from it for 15 years, whew, their life, I mean, all their growing up, I mean, that's a long time. And now the Lord said down in verse 7, he was upset with his people, and he sent Haggai to them to challenge them to get back to work. And in verse 7 it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's the title of the message, consider your ways. Now listen, I didn't say consider the ways of these folks. They're going to be our picture. But it's to us. We ought to consider our ways, and maybe it's easier to look at what someone else was doing and where they failed so that we can see similar things in us. And the Lord says, consider your ways. And now verse 8, he said, go to it. Go up to the mountain. Bring wood. Build a house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. By the way, I look forward tonight in Romans, from the book of Romans, and looking at how to glorify the Lord. There's one thing you could do with your life that would glorify the Lord every day. God desires that so much from you. And it'd be great to know it and to be able to apply it. And we'll be looking at it tonight. But he says, hey, glorify me. Go build this thing. Now, let me start in chapter 2 real quickly. And just a few verses here. Down in verse 2, it says, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? These are some other things that are keeping them from going beyond the laying of the foundation and start bringing up walls and building a temple to worship the Lord in. And so he says, who here? And they take a little survey. How many of you saw Solomon's temple? And is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Whoa. That was one of the big problems. They couldn't quite live up to Solomon's temple, and so they thought, what's the use? Down in verse 3, it says, down in verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you understand what he's saying? You're not building Solomon's temple, but you are building a temple to me. And I filled Solomon's temple with glory, and I'll fill this temple if you'll build it with glory. Those are powerful words. Down in verse 9, it says, the glory of this latter house, oh, did you see that? Shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, let me do a little bit of review just real quick. And we've been looking at the issues here of what took place in the land of Judah. That's the southern tribes. And remember, they went into Babylonian captivity. They were in captivity. Does anybody remember how many years they were in captivity? 70 years. That's right, 70 years. And remember, the reason that they were in captivity for 70 years is that for 490 years, they had failed to obey and trust God in one simple area. And that was, God asked them every seventh year to let the land lie fallow. It took a great deal of faith when you had a family to feed and animals to feed, to not go out and plow when the time was to plow. It took a great deal of faith. And you had to trust God, and you also had to just see how God can work. I mean, God has a way of working beyond our comprehension, and the Lord is able to work, and so he's going to help stretch what you have, and that's what he told them he would do, that they would have enough to feed their families that year all the way till the next harvest in that eighth year beyond there, that the Lord would take care of them. And I don't know if you remember the truth about that, they never did it. They just never did it. It was too much. Lord, you didn't really mean us to obey in that. You didn't mean us to trust you in that. Well, he did. And so at the end of 490 years, the Lord said, thank you, I'll just take it all at once. And so for 70 years, the heart of the people got carted out as slaves to Babylon. There were several times where Nebuchadnezzar came and did damage and carted people off different waves. And ultimately, the land for 70 years... lie fallow. They didn't grow anything. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem, it was a terrible, terrible situation. And now the Lord has marvelously sent his people back. Remember, only 50,000 people went back of the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people that lived in Babylon as slaves. Only 50,000 of them went back, but praise the Lord for those that did. Remember the miracle that God did and just putting it in the heart of Cyrus, the Persian king, who knew nothing of the God of the Jews, but the Lord put it in his heart to let these people go back. He provided money. He provided the paperwork to get them to where they needed to be. He even went back into Nebuchadnezzar's storehouse and pulled out the articles that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen when he destroyed the temple, gave it to them so they could be used in this new place. That's amazing. And we've talked about it. What does that have to do with me, preacher? That's a long time ago. Well, the Bible is very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You're a fool if you don't look back at the picture book of God, the Old Testament, to see the great truths acted out. It's like a picture book. In fact, he said those are there for our admonition. He even talks about the admonition for the people for whom the ends of the world has come. And that's us. We're in the last days. We best look back. But there are two big things. One of them is, my life is a temple of the Holy Spirit, this life. And so I have a responsibility to cooperate with the work of God to edify, to build me up, to encourage me in the things of the Lord. And you know what? I have to cooperate with the Lord. I have to get my earwax out. I have to open up my heart and mind. I take some labor and some discipline to spend some time alone with God. Takes time to meditate, to think upon God's Word. The Lord wants me to do that. I'm building a temple here, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we're sitting in the midst of a temple. Now, I'm not talking about the walls. I'm not talking about the building. Many people drive by here and they say, hey, that's Victory Baptist Church, you know, and they think of this building as the church. But this body of believers is the local church, and it's extremely important. And it's extremely important that effort be going into our bodies, our lives, which are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's extremely important that the gifts that God has given us and our heart and mind be given to building the local church. And you might ask yourself, what have I done in 2018? And I'm just skipping all the way back to the whole year 2018. What did I do to help build the local church? What did I pray about what went on here? Did I give? Was I faithful? Was I a part of the services? I developed a heart of faithfulness. Was I in fellowship with others, seeking to be a blessing, letting my spiritual gift be a blessing to others in the Lord Jesus Christ? I've got a job. I'm building the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm building this local assembly, which there are only three major institutions that God has given us, but all three are important. One is government. I need someone to tell me how fast to drive and how, you know, it's too high to drive that fast. You know, slow down. I need somebody to come check my work behind me and make sure that it meets the codes so it'll be safe. I need family. God's given me family. And the family that He's given me is what He's designed to bring me to Jesus Christ. Everybody in your family may be saved and you've come to Christ. You may be the person here who say, everybody in my family's lost and you've come to Christ. And the Lord knew, and He uses your family, and then He uses the local church. And everybody ought to be a part of one, and everybody ought to be putting their hand to building that place. And that's what God wants. Now, if you'll notice in Haggai chapter 1, these folks got off course. And so let's look at them. Let's tear them up for a little bit. And maybe we can pick up the mirror occasionally and look in the mirror and say, Lord, are you speaking to me? For example, the people's error, that's the first major issue. I notice here that the people were incredibly careless with very important spiritual things. It's so much so in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, when the whole reason they're back there is to build a temple, and that God has raised up a heathen king who knew nothing about their religion or their God, who has financed this trip, sent them with all the materials that they need. And they get there, they lay the foundations, and then they quit. They quit. And what did they say in verse number 2? And oh, please, please don't miss this. It says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the people, that the Lord's house, the people's house, the Lord's house should be built. And if you highlight or you underline, you ought to highlight or underline time, because that's extremely important. They were careless with God's timing. Okay, God sent them, and they had the job to do. Go build the temple. They said, we'll do it. They put the foundation in, and then they quit, because they said, I don't think this is a good time. Ridiculous. I've always found that God's timing and my timing never quite meet. You know, many times the Lord asks something of me. Sometimes there are interruptions in my life. Sometimes I have my to-do list, and suddenly the Lord rips the page out of the book and says, we're not doing that today. And I get really upset with the Lord, because my timing is rarely the Lord's timing. But God's timing is always perfect and right. And this morning, they lost 15 years. You know, we had the joy of Andrew and I see yesterday. It was a very sigh of relief to see a picture that she texted and then later posted of their moving Penske truck up in the mountains there of Virginia, and to see her minivan up there, doors open, kids have piled out. She let everybody know, we made it to Virginia. And I know it's been a burden to Denise and I. Boy, we want to see their family together. That's important. 7.5 months of this transition, this change in their lives, a new area of law enforcement for Andrew, and a new locality. But we were relieved to see that van up there. Whew, thank you, Lord. A lot of prayer went into that. You know, all along, as each month passed, I thought, how old is Nolan? And then I thought, how, you know, 7.5 months, you subtract that from Nolan's life, And on my phone, I have his last birthday party and all the fun we had at that. And that wasn't that long ago. But I start subtracting that, and I realize that's a chunk of Nolan's life where Dad has been distracted with training, and Dad has had to be up there in his duties and responsibilities. And they've been in the process of selling their home here and finding a place up there. We are relieved that they are together. We are so thankful for that and rejoicing in that. Take 15 years off your spiritual life. Where were you 15 years ago in Christ? Were you even saved 15 years ago? And you know, we can't afford to take a year off in the building of this temple of the Holy Spirit, nor can we take a year off from building the local church, the local assembly that God has, in His marvelous providence and will, placed us right in the middle of. Well, we've got a job to do. These folks said, it's not a good time. Oh, I tell you what, there's many a time I've thought it's not maybe the best time to do something. I just can't be involved in this. It's not a good time. Or many folks say, I can't start devotions. I'm so glad the church had that thing where the adult Sunday school classes and the teens did that about devotions. And maybe I'll try that a year or two from now, but I've got so much on my plate. I can't have devotions. I can't have a quiet time with the Lord. You best get God's timing down. God wants to do something in your life. Let me move on. I could park there a long time. I don't want to. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 2. Let's go down to verse number 3. There's a second issue here as far as the people's error. Number 1, they were careless with God's perfect timing. Number 2, they were covetous. Woo! Boy, I tell you what. In verse number 2, it sounds so spiritual when they say the time is not come. When my wife and I were first married, we used to have this saying, when we get where we're going. Because we were kind of in transition as we married. I was finishing school, and we spent about 3 years in the Greenville, South Carolina area and finishing school. And then, the Lord sent us to Tennessee. But there was a period when we were still in South Carolina that we would look at one another and we would say, well, when we get where we're going. And then one day we realized that's a bad philosophy. You know, you are right now where God has placed you. You should be busy for the Lord and what God has you to do. And it sounded so spiritual for them to say, well, it's just not a good time right now. And maybe well-meaning folks said, I understand. Boy, I tell you, you guys have really had it rough, and it's tough, and I understand why you can't be faithful to church, or I understand why you can't be faithful in a devotional life, or why, hey, soul winning, going out soul winning, that's not really a primary thing for you. I understand why that's not that important. But then we get down to verses 3 and 4, and I wish Haggai had stopped. I mean, it sounds so spiritual when they say it's really not a good timing right now. But this is why it wasn't a good time. It says, verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? And Lord, why did you have to say that? Sealed houses, that was like wainscoting. It's like special paneling, and usually it only appeared in palaces. And so the people here in Jerusalem trying to rebuild the temple, they kind of got things out of whack. They didn't understand how God's economy and how His equation works, and so they spent all of their time making their home glorious. I mean, they must have started better homes and garden in Jerusalem. I don't know. And they went in, these beautiful sealed houses. And what does it say about the Lord's house? Well, all they had was a foundation over there. And boy, there was weeds growing up through it, and it was kind of eroding. And let me get you to hold your place in Haggai and go over to Matthew chapter 6. It's a great verse. It says it all. And every one of us, we have to stop and we have to say, Lord, am I doing what Matthew 6 and verse 33 says? And their hearts were, you know what? We will put God first, but right now we can't. We've got this situation. You will find that life is full of all types of situations that were for 15 years will keep you from ever contributing to build the temple here of the Holy Spirit, cooperate with the work of the Spirit, and to build the local church. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So verse 33, I'm going to put the Lord first. He's going to be a priority. If I could encourage you, we're already now into February 2019. But if you want this year to be a success, discipline yourself to put the Lord first. In fact, as you put the Lord first, you'll find the Lord is right there to help. Many a person who's walked out in the local church could stand this morning and give their testimony and say it. Well, that day when I found that I was lost and I needed Christ as my Savior and my feet felt like lead, I wanted to go and get some help, but I didn't know about it. And then I put one foot out, and then it was easier to take the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. And then I was where I needed to be, where somebody could take the Bible and show me God's simple plan of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in payment for my sin so that I could receive God's wonderful gift. And so we've got the folks careless and we've got the folks covetous, but there's one other thing here that the Bible speaks of, and that is that the folks had allowed themselves to be conquered. What does that mean? Well, the moment they got into Jerusalem, they started sensing the opposition to do what was right. I hate to tell you this, the devil does not want you to have a quiet time with the Lord. He has no desire whatsoever for you to ever establish genuine faithfulness in the local assembly here. He doesn't want you to be a part of using the wonderful spiritual gift or gifts that God has given you that is so necessary for other believers and their spiritual growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need you and you need them. That's just the way God's designed it. He doesn't want that to happen. So he's going to oppose you. And by the way, the first thing that happened was they just lied about what was going on. They sent word back to the Persians. Hey, these people are a bunch of rebels. They're trying to break away. They're not going to be vassals to you anymore. You better come down here and fix this thing. And so the word came down, stop. And guess what the people did? For 15 years, they stopped. Oh, listen, have you stopped in your spiritual growth? Are you where you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago? Isn't it time to stop, go back and dig out that foundation and come up with the walls and make a place that honors the Lord and worships the Lord? I believe it is. They were opposed. But also, back in Haggai here, chapter 2, if you'll notice in verse number 3, they allowed themselves to be conquered by the great opposition. They were opposed, and the work stopped. The devil said, boo, and they went and hid themselves. Oh, we can't beat him. Even though the Bible says greater is he that's in you, he's in the world, they just didn't believe that. But there's one other thing here about this being conquered. It says here, and this is something the devil used against them. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? What's he saying? All right. They take a survey. How many times do we do that at church? How many of you have ever, and you raise your hand, you know, how many of you saw Solomon's temple in its original glory? Hands went up everywhere. Yeah, I saw it, yeah. And how does this look to you? And you can just feel a silence and heads going down, because they are never going to build a temple that is going to be like the temple that God allowed Solomon to build and allowed David to bankroll and put all the equipment together and the plans together. There would never be a temple built like that by them. And it's pretty humble, that temple. But be careful about that. You know, as you serve the Lord, you have no idea what God is doing and how he's glorifying himself. In fact, in verse 9, did you notice that? He said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. See it, chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord says, I'm going to do things greater in this little old bitty temple that you're building to my glory, greater than I did in the days of Solomon and those years that followed. It was a week, like last week, in London, England. And a young fella, teenager, by the name of C.H. Spurgeon, was going down the road here, going down the streets to find his church. The weather was so bad. The wind was blowing. The snow was blowing. It was so cold. And he thought, I'm going in this one. And so he kind of went into this church that he found. And by the way, the weather was so bad and the situation was so severe that winter in London that the pastor had been unable to come. And so one of the men who was a leader, a deacon in the church, he was standing and preaching. And pretty much he had been taken surprised that he was going to speak. You know, a lot of times when that happens, you shout a lot, you know, and you repeat yourself a lot when that happens, when you're taken by surprise. And so he's trying to stretch his very short message. But it seemed like every time his finger came down, C.H. Spurgeon said, it pointed at me. There's a handful of people in that room. Most people thought, the preacher's not here. Why should we even be having a service? Let's just go home before it gets worse. But they sang praises, and that deacon preached, and C.H. Spurgeon got saved. And, you know, he would shake the city of London in the years that would follow by preaching the gospel. And his messages and sermons today are a blessing to God's people. God, the Lord knows what he's doing. I'm always surprised in the Bible with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm right there with the disciples. You know, the Lord would get a big crowd going. I mean, they couldn't handle the multitudes. He just fed 5,000. And the disciples, they're euphoric. They're so excited. Oh, we're finally, things are falling in place. Jesus is going to start his kingdom. This is great. And then the Lord would just turn his back and go somewhere else. And these 12 guys would be following the Lord. Lord, what are you doing? We got 5,000 men over there and women and children. We can start the kingdom. What are you doing? And the Lord would gather those 12 disciples. And by the way, one of them was a plant of the devil and is in hell today. He worked with those 11. And who would know that today we would be reading from scriptures that were penned by those men who sat at Jesus' feet. Well, he poured himself into those. I don't know what opportunities that God has given, but you ought to take every opportunity that God gives and give your whole heart. If you're a Sunday school teacher, there's nothing like wall-to-wall, is it? I tell you what, go get more chairs. Boy, we ain't got enough room in here. We need a bigger room, Pastor. That's great. It's nothing like that. Boy, how difficult it is when, you know, one little child, two little kids in there and say, well, it's barely worth teaching them. I tell you what, I guess we can have a long memory verse game, or we'll sing extra songs, and I'll save this lesson for next week because I already studied it through. You ought to pour everything you can into, because you just don't know what God is doing. Don't you be conquered by the opposition. They were opposed and they stopped. The opportunity didn't seem as big as they would like for it to have been, and so they stopped. God intended for them to overcome the oppression. Now, again, they convinced themselves a terrible thing. And I want to warn you about this. I believe the devil and the flesh and the world are going to try to convince you. And that is this. One day, I will do it. One day, I intend to get faithful in God's house. One day, I'm going to carve out some time to have a devotional life, like I hear some of these older saints at church and talking about the Lord and what they're learning. One of these days, I'm going to learn how to tell people about Jesus Christ, and these friends I keep making at work who don't know the Lord, I'll be able to tell them about Jesus, but not now, not right now. And he always, the flesh, the world, the devil, one of these days I'll have devotions. One of these days I'll learn to tell people about Jesus Christ. But the truth is, you don't know yourself very well. You don't start today, you never will. The 15 years will just keep it going on, and a lifetime will pass. Boy. Now, what is the cost as we close here? Haggai chapter 1, time is about gotten away from us. And Haggai chapter 1, and we're between 1 and 2. Now, if you'll notice something that the Lord said down in verse number 9, after he pointed out the problems there, the folks, the foundation was laid, but they'd stopped. 15 years have passed. Now, in verse 9 of chapter 1, it says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man into his own house. Everything is more important and building a spiritual life and a walk with me. Everything takes priority. Everything takes priority over building my spiritual life and building the local church that God has asked me to be a part of, and taking my spiritual gifts and putting my shoulder to the load in that place. There's a passage, it's in Leviticus chapter 26. Can you go over there? I don't know if you're using a Bible reading calendar. I read in four different areas of the Bible each day, and I kind of like that. And I know we had a lot of folks took Bible reading calendars this year who more than usual, who just go straight through. And you're going to hit Leviticus soon if you haven't already. And Leviticus, there's some challenges, but there's some stuff for your soul here if you'll let the Lord speak to you. And in chapter 26 and verse 26, it's a passage that spoke to me many years ago, and I've tried never to forget. And I'd like for it to be a blessing to you as we close today. The Lord said this to the children of Israel, to the people of Judah. He said, listen, you started plowing your fields. You didn't finish the temple, which was your number one job. And you started plowing the fields, and guess what? The more you planted, the less you harvested. You started harvesting and you started eating, and it wasn't very satisfying to you. You didn't find the joy that you thought. You made some money, you put it in your pocket, in the bag, but it was as though the bag had holes in it. You really didn't make any progress. And I think lights were going off all over when Haggai said that. I said, you know, I think you're right. I think you're right. And why is that? Leviticus 26 and verse 26, the Lord said, I have in my hand the satisfaction dial, the joy dial of life. And in Leviticus 26 and verse 26, the Lord says, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I've gone into some nice restaurants and circumstances in my life in those moments, sat down, had a wonderful meal, should have been, but it just wasn't very satisfying. Didn't bring joy to my heart. I've also sat down at the table with a dry peanut butter sandwich and had a great meal. Felt stuffed and rejoiced the company that I had and the spiritual fellowship in the Lord. I've had both of those things. Many times in life, we lose the joy of life. You may have today more than you've ever had before, more than you had 15 years ago, but you don't have the joy of that. And why is that? Because God has His hand on that satisfaction and joy meter. He says, it'll come if you disobey me. He said, it'll come to the point that you could hire 10 bakers, 10 ladies, who are going to bake your bread, fill that oven just minute after minute with bread, pull it out, give it to you, and you could eat it. And guess what? And those last words in verse 26 of Leviticus, and not be satisfied. Wow. God has His hand on the satisfaction meter and how He wants to satisfy us and bless us. He wants life to be filled with joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But you know what? A lot of times we've just messed up His priorities. And God says back in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hey, consider your ways. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianist is coming. And as you get settled, let me ask you just a few questions. How's your spiritual life? How's your spiritual life? Is it satisfying and bringing joy? Is it a priority? Or is this the first time outside of getting in the car and saying, Lord, help me to get safe as I go to work, or Lord, my loved one's safe as they traveled, or your friends somewhere that had, really the Lord hasn't had much of a part of your thoughts or your plans this week. I'm glad you've included Him today in being in God's house. And how's your spiritual life, your worship, and your fellowship of the Lord? For 15 years, they didn't have a place to go worship or fellowship with the Lord. Say, preacher, you can be outside. You don't have to be. I understand exactly what you're saying. But the Lord said, I want you to build that temple. And I want you to go there, and I want you to worship and enjoy me. And for 15 years, they had just said, it's not a good time. And they even convinced themselves that one day they would do it. But God sent a prophet, and he said, we best go to the mountain now. And so how's your spiritual life? How about your spiritual gifts? Can you honestly say, hey, I know my spiritual gifts? We just went through a period of time where we studied spiritual gifts and in our adult Sunday school classes, and we had these ways in which you could figure out what your spiritual gift surveys and things to help you. I think most believers, as they went through, had a pretty good idea. You know, I already know. I think this is what God has given me. This is a spiritual gift that I have. And have you exercised and used that spiritual gift? Do you even know what your spiritual gift is? Can 15 years pass and you not minister to God's people? And as a result of ministering to God's people with your spiritual gift or gifts, build the temple of your life? Is it possible, my friend, that you've not been a part of building a local assembly, uniting your heart with others, choosing to love them, have compassion upon them, to pray for them, to be friends with them, to be drawn to them, to help them, and to allow them to help you and be drawn to you and to bless you? What about that spiritual body? Where is it? Is it possible that 15 years you could just cut yourself off? You might even attend services, but just cut yourself off from the body of Christ in this place. What a ridiculous thing. I believe the Lord asked a very simple question. Consider your ways. Maybe this morning, as you consider your ways, you think, hey, I could use a little time with the Lord. And that's what this is about. It's an invitation time. We use these front steps and these front pews, and we just get on our face before God, kneel, and take things to the Lord. Perhaps you need somebody to pray with you. I'm glad to do that, or get myself, or get someone else to do that to help you this morning. Perhaps you just need to come, get along with the Lord there, and lay some things out before God. Come on. I love the way the Lord said it there in Haggai. He said, hey, go up to the mountain. There's a message there. And come. And do that. You may be here in this service and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm in this place, and even though you've been preaching here mainly to Christians, I know that I'm not one. I don't have Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I died, I wouldn't go to heaven. I'd go to hell. And I know that. But I'd like to go to heaven. I'd like to understand God's gift in Jesus Christ and what he's done so that I can be saved from my sins and go to heaven. You're in a great place. In a minute, we'll be standing. People's heads will be bowed. Eyes will be closed. You're only a few feet anywhere around this building. Just a few feet down that aisle. Just as I was talking about, if there were people here this morning, you could probably testify to that day when they stood, their feet like lead, their legs thinking, I really want to go. I want to get some help this morning. But I don't know if I... And they put one foot. And the Lord helped him take the second and the third and the fourth, and he'll help you today, won't he? You come on. Father, we're so thankful to be in this place. We certainly live in the last days. And Lord, we rejoice. We would not want to be alive in any other time. You designed us to live in this time. But Lord, you also painted some pictures in the Old Testament of some folks that made some very serious errors, and it cost them. They had lost all the joy of life. And Lord, what's even worse, a heathen king would pass from the scene who sent the order, and they wouldn't even obey the heathen king to go and to build that temple. And Lord, I know that we're not building a temple. We're not building things of stone and silver and gold as they would have and wood, but we are building this temple of the Holy Spirit. We are allowing you to help us to grow in grace and in knowledge. We are making it a priority. We are seeking you first. And we also are given the job of building the local church, of being a part, using our spiritual gifts with others to unite with others. It is our responsibility. What a gift both of these great things are. But Lord, I pray that we'll consider our ways, that we'll consider what you said to us this morning in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.